still hanging at 28 degrees and no snow yet, but we're going down to Brookings to Jeff Held, who's the sheep specialist at South Dakota State University. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Chuck. No snow here either.
No snow and no Packers, right?
No Packers. You know, just like you Viking fans, but I need to find something to do with the rest of January.
Yeah, I know what I should mention you're a Packer fan from Wisconsin, so we kind of just let you go on that. But anyway, no snow yet, huh?
No snow, and hopefully we go forward without a great deal. That'd be fine with me.
Well, coming up is the Lamb Bonanza down at Brookings, and that's always a pretty nice event.
You know, the Lamb Bonanza, 25th year of the SDSU Lamb Bonanza. It's remarkable where all that time went, but celebrating 25 years on February 4th.
Well, you got a pretty good game to broadcast to showcase anyway.
Well, the Lamb Bonanza, of course, is a promotion with the South Dakota Sheep Growers Association, the Animal Science, and the Athletic Departments at SDSU team up each year now for 25 years. This year, to showcase lamb and wool production in South Dakota, there are two games, a 2 o'clock game, which is a women's game with USD as the opponent, and then at 4:30 in the afternoon, the Jacks men's team play Oral Roberts.
So those should be a couple of pretty good games, and you can come see.
It'd be awesome. You know, we had the Port Classic last weekend on Saturday, and a really nice crowd, great basketball, and I expect it to be equal or better on the 4th.
Now, you guys are also serving something at 1 to 2, aren't you?
You know, as we've had in a tradition, you know, we greet basketball fans with an opportunity to taste some lamb food products, lamb sandwich, and another entree. And being the 25th year, we're going to, you know, maybe take a few changes along those lines. But one thing's for sure is we're going to have a delicious lamb product available free of charge for fans that come into the basketball game between 1 and 2 o'clock.
And that'll be on the north side of the track in the frost, so. Right?
Yes, it would be upstairs on the deck, and members of the South Dakota Sheep Growers Association, some of our faculty and friends from the area, both in sheep production and those in our department here at Animal Science, will be serving products, and there'll be recipes available, and a nice little social activity with some great products to taste prior to the game.
Now, also during halftime, you have a little auction?
You know, the interesting thing, we have a scholarship program that begins 25 years ago, and we auction off 6 pelts that we have every year, either yellow or blue in SDSU colors with SDSU letters on 4 of those pelts and 2 of them with the jackrabbit. We auction those off at the men's halftime. Auctioneer style. If someone's interested in more information about these pelts, they can contact me prior to the game if they can't be there that day. After 25 years and 150 pelts out there in the country, there continues to be a strong demand for this memento of SDSU and animal science and the sheep industry, as well as scholarship proceeds that this pelt auction supports.
Where do you get the pelts from, Jeff?
Well, the pelts are U.S. pelts. They come out of one of the largest pelt handlers in the U.S., which happens to be in the southwestern part of the U.S. These pelts, they have to be selected for quality, and then they're dyed the right colors, and then I have a step. You know, like a lady, a good friend of ours in Iowa, that does the sewing on these pelts. So it's quite a process. You know, it takes quite a little bit. And remarkably, with all the effort that goes into having this product available on February 4th, it only takes about 4 minutes to pass them on to some new happy owners.
Well, and again, you'll be serving some lamb products up there, and I get, you know, we're looking at, I was looking at the lamb market today, and boy, they just keep holding there for the, they just keep hanging in there, doesn't it?
You know, one of our sponsors of this relative, you know, we have about 120 pounds of lamb that we cook up for this lamb bonanza, and so one of our sponsors, Strauss Lamb and Veal, supplies product for this high quality product, and the representative of that company and I were visiting a few 10 days ago, and you know, really, as you talk about market prices, the good news is the foundation behind it's strong. You know, things are current. The coolers are, freezers are current, and maybe edging down. You know, so the current what we see on the, what we see before us, and we look forward pretty real positive on the sheep market.
You know, we were talking about sheep and stuff, and we talk about their fleece and shearing. Somebody asked me, what about the hair lambs? What are we seeing? Have they taken any popularity at all?
Well, there's, you know, the interest in, you know, there's probably 10 primary breeds of sheep that are found in this region. Historically, and they're all wool breeds. Now, we add to that a couple of the sets of genetics that are essentially woolless, or crosses that have very little wool and they would not require shearing, and that Dorper, South African breed, and Katahdin, which is a U.S. developed breed out of Caribbean genetics. And you know, the Dorper from South Africa and the Katahdin and their lineage, you know, were all developed near the equator in respective parts of the world. Well, you know, that was made it, you know, a desire to not have wool, and they got that done. But number two, that their seasonality, which is unique to sheep, and their breeding seasonality, more like a deer in that they are not, they're seasonal in their breeding activity. Those hair breeds have do not possess that seasonality aspect. So they offer, you know, some production choices that people entertain that we see a small infusion relative to other parts of the country of the hair genetics in those two breeds specifically. Now, the southeastern part of the U.S. and even in Texas, those genetics I mentioned have taken a strong foothold. The southeast, in areas where sheep have not been very popular because of their environment, but these hair breeds thrive. And in Texas, there too, although a wool breed foundation like the Rambouillet, the recovery from a recent drought period has increased the population and popularity of some of the hair crosses. So hair crosses are part of the marketing of lamb in the U.S. In this region, less so than other parts of the country.
Is there any flavor different from the lamb, from the hair to the wool?
You know, I think these are the kind of, you know, I think the kind of discussions that go on, you know, you take a carcass and five people cook it. Boy, one person really likes how it's cooked, another person not. It's hard to take that out of the equation when we think about, you know, different breeds and meats and products from different breeds of sheep. There's so many other variables. I would say that at the final conclusion, you'd say not much difference, if any. But one thing's for sure, as we look at cooking lamb today, you know, grilling and grilling options are certainly the trend forward and upward momentum. And independent of what cut of lamb and what breed, people are going to like that approach to preparation.
What do you do as far as temperature if you put it on the grill? Where do you want it to go, Jeff?
Well, I think the temperature, you know, I guess one of the things you would say is, you know, the normal cooking temperature for red meats is, you know, 150 degrees or so, and I specifically. But one of the things we find with, you know, that lamb in particular, it seems to be a characteristic over time, is people overcook it. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a, you know, check with the level that's considered safe for cooking temperature, but it's fairly common, I think, as we look through time, to find lamb, so I don't know how to cook lamb. Well, you know, one of the outcomes often is it's overcooked. But grilling today, and gee, there's a zillion different kinds of grilling choices and procedures today that, you know, we can cook a product that's fully cooked and not overcooked. It's moist, it's flavorful, and it's got unique flavors that, you know, I think we'll find some of that, those same aspects in the food products we have available at the Lamb Bonanza this year. I think something that you go, boy, that's lamb, and that's really good.
Well, you know, just like Kingsbury County at their 4-H Achievement Days grill leg of lambs, and I don't know how many pounds they grill, but it's a lot of them. And Pete, we hear a lot of good comments on there, and our farm show, the 4-H has lambs, serve lamb one day, and they sell out of it. So I think people are getting the opportunity to taste it and find out it's not hard to cook.
Yes. Well, lamb is one of the most consumed, you know, red meat proteins in the world. We have a lot of nice choices of different kinds of products. The lamb should be included in that. You know, visiting specifically to the Watertown area, you know, appears to be, you know, some nice promotion and awareness that at local establishments, lamb purchases have been a very bright spot and represents the society's desire to try different things. And, you know, availability of lamb cuts through some of our grocery chains through our region. Actually, you look for lamb, you'll find it. And fresh cuts, you know, that's one of the things that's often mentioned. You know, I want to buy lamb, where can I find it? Well, you know, ask and look, both. And, you know, we prefer the U.S. Reared lamb. But by definition, about 50% of the lamb that's available for consumption in the U.S. is imported. We like the U.S. lamb better, but if you go to a grocery store, you're going to find, look on the label, see if it's from the U.S., but about 320 million pounds of lamb consumed. That's about a pound per person, which isn't very much compared to others' choices, but the good news is, I'd say this, is over the last 25 years, you know, we've been at least flat in consumption as product. And, you know, I think there's plenty of opportunity to move forward with all sources of lamb that come into the total availability of lamb in the U.S.
And Jeff, let's talk. I ran into a young producer who's in another county south of us, but he's thinking of getting into sheep production. He's an older gentleman's kind of going out, and he wanted somebody to go in. Are we seeing some younger people coming into the sheep industry now?
Well, there's no doubt. You know, of course, this is you can appreciate this. When we have educational meetings, I used to be the youngest one there, and now I'm nearly the oldest. And I think you can understand how that's going. But the demographics of sheep producers is pretty interesting to, you know, it's maybe a function of the, if you take 100 producers at a meeting and then do the demographics, it's certainly balanced in that we have, you know, maybe young families, not just in the show ring kind of, you know, 4-H club lamb, but beyond that, folks that are looking to, add an enterprise to an existing operation, you know, another generation coming in. Those starting the sheep enterprise as a sole livestock component of other lives, you know, the sheep are smaller. They're, you know, there's some safety components come into this. They're easy to handle. And in this region, we have tremendous marketing opportunities that isn't, some would take for granted because they don't know. But in, you know, a day's drive from here, you would find that, you know, setting up a sheep operation and finding a place to market that output is a bigger challenge than figuring out how to raise them. You know, we have an hour's drive anywhere from where you're at or where I'm at, and we can sell finished or feeder lambs or cull ewes and find seed stock. You know, this is a great place to raise livestock, and sheep are part of that.
Well, the other livestock that's kind of holding their market too as well and prospering is some goats. And meat goats has really kind of turned around in our area at least, and it's still growing, don't you think?
Well, I think some of the same aspects that attract a look at livestock in goats or sheep, you know, there's smaller creatures. You know, the investment isn't as great, certainly. You know, as we get into larger enterprises, there is investment that's needed, but it's maybe not to the same scale as other choices that, or choices that may be beyond reach for a good number of folks. There are two, marketing of goats, you know, for the most part, they leave our area and the product doesn't come back on a retail basis. Lambs leave our area for harvest, but they do come back on a retail basis. Maybe but relative to the, there is a demand for, lamb and goat meat, clearly in the U.S., and I've mentioned a number of times in our conversation, almost always, with the demographic shifts in the U.S., these trends certainly can be fulfilled as a positive trend going forward. Interesting, along that, just the last week, the cull ewe value in the February, kind of the February period, almost always a peak, 70 cents a pound for cull ewes and higher, 80 and 90 and even a dollar in the last couple weeks per pound. So 150-pound ewe, open ewe right now is worth $150 plus or minus some change. Well, that's been one of the most significant changes in the sheep industry in my tenure as the sheep specialist, because we had maybe almost 10% of that value at times, and that really, I think, is one of the most significant changes in the industry is the salvage value of ewes that are unproductive, and why that's and where's some noteworthy point of this. In the last week, I look at export of adult sheep, and normally to Mexico, it was zero. And last year, only less than 10,000 head of cull ewes went to Mexico. And there's yet 15% of the flock is culled every year. And the point is, those mature sheep, cull animals, are consumed in the U.S. compared to 20 years ago, where they all went somewhere else other than the U.S. You know, so that really strengthens the salvage value, strengthens the model for sheep production, and also reinforces the demographic shifts that are going on in the U.S. consumption.
So it is it's kind of interesting right now. They're kind of most of them are probably in the middle of lambing, aren't they?
Yeah, certainly the lambing is well underway here in the Midwest. Certainly from our area east and south, but particularly all through the Corn Belt and the Midwest and into the east, the lambing period begins in January for the most part, and peaks in late February, March, and tails off into May. Going west of here, of our area, into the range enterprises, western South Dakota and beyond, kind of maybe a March, hit the throttle in March and work your way out through May. So the lambing's well underway, and its reports have been strong, good lamb drop and good health. The weather, nice steady weather conditions be more favorable than the up and down, but I am really thinking about spring, to tell you the truth, Chuck. That would be the direction I'd like to go, but the fluctuation is certainly one has to keep on your management task with that.
And again, Jeff, if they want some ewes, looking for some nice lambs and ewes, we still have our sheep sale at the Watertown Winter Farm Show on Saturday morning, and it's a good way. There's some good ewes and some nice lambs there if they want to start a flock.
You know, whether it's the Watertown Winter Farm Show or a sheep production course at SDSU, it's interesting how you trigger, especially in a young person, and fuel their interest. And whether it's one or 101, they have to start somewhere. And having a good experience and good quality stock, as you point out, and we well know that, great reputation with the breeders providing animals at the winter show, for those flocks, for young, for families and young kids to get a, some experience with sheep. So for some, it's been a lifetime experience.
All right, Jeff, thank you very much for joining me again. Lamb Bonanza, February 4th, SDSU. Come at 1 o'clock and have a little lamb on the side and watch South Dakota State and the USD with the girls and South Dakota State Oral Roberts with the boys. Jeff, thank you very
much.
Have a great day.
Thank you. You too, Chuck.
All right. We'll see you, Jeff.